Well, first off, it's better customer service. But more importantly, I know the Feds care a lot about the bottom line. I was a Fed for 25 years, and we never have enough resources, and we never have enough money. And frankly, the federal government would save a lot of time and money if it communicated clearly, because people would stop calling and asking for explanations. They would start filling out the forms more correctly. It would take staff shorter times to process material. And we have a lot of data that supports all of those ideas. It's not just something that we think might happen. We know that would happen.
But I'm reminded of the Mark Twain, and I'm not going to get it right, but it takes almost longer to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead. Sometimes it takes getting outside of your comfort zone and maybe thinking the way somebody else might be interpreting words.
You have hit the nail on the head. Two important points in there. First off, writing clearly, writing concisely is hard work. It's much harder work than writing the way federal bureaucrats normally write, particularly since so often all we do is pull out last year's report and update the information and put out the same old garbage that we've put out before. So it's not an easy thing to do, particularly since you've been writing that other way for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. And secondly, your second point, you have to get into the point of view of the reader. Most bureaucratic writers write from their own point of view. They write for themselves. They write for the guy at the next desk. They write for their manager. They write for the attorneys that have to review the material. They never think about writing for the audience, and that's a major difference. If we could get that culture change, I think we'd see the government writing a lot more clearly.
And I think what often happens is people try and be, we have to be precise, we have to be specific, and then all of a sudden you have these, I mean, it even happens with titles, for goodness sakes. We have these titles that are 30 words long.
Right.
You know, in our quest to be specific, no one gets what we're talking about.
That's exactly right. And, of course, I do have to admit that the lawyers, some of whom are my great friends, are a major cause of this particular problem. And they don't understand that there is no conflict between clarity and precision. And, in fact, something that's clear is more precise and more sound than something that has gone on with complex phrases and you've added all this extra stuff and it confuses people. And that's the stuff that causes lawsuits. You don't have lawsuits over the clear, crisp, short material.
Yeah. I want to talk about the folks who are doing good work, but we got to talk about the bad one. And I know there's been a lot of attention around this, but it's a DHS document, and it, even its name, it's the I-94. Even the name makes you just sort of cringe over it.
Yes, exactly. And I know when you get it, you cringe. It's the form that you get if you are not a citizen and you're flying into the United States. And I have a lot of friends in the plain language community that do fly into the United States, and they say even the airline will tell them that be really careful how you fill out this form. It's easy to make a mistake. They say that 25% of the forms get torn up because people make a mistake and had to start over, and what's that costing the government? And it's just, It's an insulting form, and it's silly. It's supposed to be collecting information that would make us more secure, but I'm sorry, I just don't think we're going to see a terrorist check yes in the column that says, have you engaged in terrorist activities?
Yeah, and are you aiding the Nazis, for goodness
exactly.
sakes?
No, if you're still alive, you're not going to check it, but you're probably dead anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the good folks who are doing this well, and one of them comes from the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes, they got the top award for a website. They have an excellent website that all of your listeners might take a look at. It would be good for them. It's called healthfinder.gov, and the specific part of the website that won is called a quick health guide, and you can find it at healthfinder.gov/prevention. It's an excellent site, and one of the reasons it is such a good site is they did a lot of testing with customers to see what the customers needed and what the customers would read. Of course, we all know that a big problem with websites is people don't like to read very much on there. You have to design it just right to get them to even pay attention to it. And overall, this is it's an excellent website, and I recommend it to everybody.
Hmm. And the winner in a classification called Original Documents comes from the Federal Trade Commission.
Yes, interestingly, because I would say that overall, in the almost 200 entries that we got for this contest, which, by the way, almost overwhelmed us, we were very surprised at the numbers, but a large number of them were from the health area, and we saw a lot of good health-related material from the government, from the private sector, and from nonprofits, but we saw very, very little material relating in any way to finance. So we were very happy to get this terrific form. It's a model financial privacy notice that FTC has provided to financial institutions that they can use to tell their customers what kind of information the financial institution collects about them and what they do with that information.
Do you get a sense when you're reading this, and I didn't have a chance to look at the document, I'm going to go back and do that now to find out how they did this, but that can be hard to write about those kinds of issues.
Oh, absolutely. And I know this document went through multiple rounds of testing to ensure that they got it right. And that's one thing I would like to comment on is when you're doing something that's going to go to millions of people, you really should test it. Now, you can't test everything. We know that. And you don't need to test the letter that's going to 10 people. But when you're sending out something to millions of people, it will really save you time in the long run and provide better customer service if you test it up front.
Now, you have a category called revised documents. First off, this is a document that was bad and people updated?
Right. And what we're looking at is not just the quality of the document itself, but how improved it was. And in this particular case, we had categories for public documents, private sector documents, and nonprofits. And in this particular category, the winner was a document from the state of Washington, not the federal government.
Hmm. And it was a document that said what?
It was a document that told people how the state of Washington would process their request for a copy of some publicly available document from their files.
And there were a couple of federal agencies that were at least finalists, one from the Department of Veterans Affairs about insurance services.
Right. Right. And, oh, yeah, there were a number of finalists. The free financial counseling from the VA, and then the National Cancer Institute, which had a number of finalists in various categories, had one about eating hints when you're being treated for cancer.
So after going through and looking at all these, and do you come away with some, oh my goodness, people are still doing, are there a couple tips that you can offer for offer folks as they are writing these things?
Sure. As I said, one is to check with your customers, and testing doesn't need to be extensive. If you ask five people, one at a time, so they don't hear each other, to go through the document with you and explain the document back to you, and if they can explain your document to you correctly, then you've got it. So just asking five people would be a big help in getting it clear. But as far as the writing mechanics, I've taught plain language classes in the government for years, and it seems to me that the two things that will move you significantly toward plain language, it won't get you to the goal, but it will move you, is shorten those sentences and use active voice.
I'm having high school flashbacks, but
yes, I'm sure you are.
It's as true then as it is now.
Absolutely. The best sentence is still the one that you first learned about. You put the subject, and then you put the verb, and then you put the object. And if you get that right and you don't put anything in between those three elements, if you have to have something else, put it at the end. If you do that, if you write that way consistently, you'll be a lot clearer.